Jaguars Thursday is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the program. We are done here, but don't go anywhere. Jaguars Thursday about to kick off from the stadium. Messrs. Shadrick, Lagerman, and Baselli up next. What's up, fellas?
Little Stevie Wonder there, Frank.
All day long, Old Rock Thursday with Stevie Wonder today,
yeah,
JP.
Wow. Okay.
You don't get that every day.
Hey, what's wrong with your show, Frank? I was listening earlier.
Where do you want me to start, bro?
They're playing Stevie Wonder, yeah. And I heard one of your...
Do you want a list or
what? I heard one of your idiots next to you say they thought it was Gladys Knight in the pit. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Right.
And then Martineau...
It had to be Martineau.
No, that was Hayes. Martineau had no idea.
Yeah, Martineau knows less about music than the guy who said, "Is that Gladys Knight?" That gives you an idea where we are, right? I didn't know whether either to fire everybody or just resign and we all go away.
Here's my recommendation.
Somewhere in between.
Well, stop doing Old Rock Thursday if you're going to ask them who's playing.
That's the whole fun of the show, for God's sake.
And then did you guys play Counting Crows? Is it Old Rock Thursday?
That was last week.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Boy.
It's not old.
It tells you you're old, Tony.
It's in the 90s.
It's 90s, isn't old.
No.
It was 20 years ago.
No.
Tony, how old are you now?
44.
That means it's old.
It means you're old,
No, it
Tony.
Has to be in the 70s to be old.
Well, there you go. By the way, I'm with you. I got overvoted on that one because everyone thinks I'm old, Tony, for God's sake. So there's that.
Well, the people who don't know any music probably shouldn't have a vote.
Probably not. What's going on, fellas? Jaguars staff about done. Senior Bowl behind us. Hey,
yeah.
Tony, you were there with them for a few years, and we all talk about the Senior Bowl a lot. How much does that really help evaluate players for the coaches that get there?
Well, I think a lot. Even if you're not there, you get all the tape of practices, the game, I mean, all the drills. Everything's taped and filmed.
The interaction is the biggest thing.
And I think so you get to see that, but then if you're a coach – you get to work with those guys one-on-one and see how they react in the meeting room, how they react to coaching, how they're on the practice field, when they're tired, when it's long, when it doesn't go their way. You can see a lot of their personality come out. So I think it's very valuable.
Yeah, because you can act for an interview, you know, one-on-one, sit down.
Sure.
But it's hard to put on an act all day long. You know, but it's a small piece to the puzzle, Frank. I'll just never forget a couple years ago when the Jaguars had drafted Brandon Linder. You know, and I didn't watch any of him prior to the draft. So after the draft, I go and, you know, okay, I want to watch the film of Brandon Linder. So the first film I watch is the Senior Bowl. I figured, you know what, it'd be a great place to start.
Why not?
And I watched the Senior Bowl tape, and I went, oh, my God.
Really?
He's terrible. He didn't have a good Senior Bowl.
Wow.
And so I said, well, I got to, you know, I'm missing something here. So then I go to watch the game film, and he goes against, I think it was Aaron Donald, and there was another Florida State defensive tackle in the same draft, I believe it was. I can't remember his name.
Kid, he's at Oakland now.
Was it the one that was in New England? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's the one at Oakland.
One of the top-rated defensive tackles along with Aaron Donald, and Linder was lights out against both of those guys. So I was like, okay, well, so it just goes to show. I mean, Senior Bowl is just a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, but and certainly the practices are what everyone talks about there. So, interesting stuff. Hey, I know you guys will talk plenty of Jags tonight, but the two championship game blowouts. You guys surprised? I was really surprised that Atlanta laid it. Tony, you did the game. Mm. Were you guys surprised that they rolled them like that?
Tony picked them.
I picked Atlanta to win.
Yeah, I heard, and I was listening when you picked them, but I don't think you were picking them to roll them like that, right?
No, I thought it would be a 42-38 type of game or something along those lines. But I'll tell you, being there, after the missed Mason Crosby field goal, I said, uh-oh. Now they go back and score. It's 10-0. The Packers go and drive. And when they fumbled, I was like,
killed him.
That might be it. Because if they weren't stopping Atlanta. And so it was one of those games where your offense better be going because the other one is. And that's when it got out of control. I think if they played 10 times, Atlanta probably wins 7 or 8 of them. But they're all close besides the one we just watched.
How about it, Jeff? Did they go the way you thought they'd go those two games?
No. I mean, I thought both of them would be close. I thought that game would be pretty tight. And I thought the experience would end up being the determining factor for the Patriots. And I picked Green Bay. As hot as Green Bay has been, Aaron Rodgers has been on a roll. I thought that maybe a little inactivity by the Atlanta Falcons might, you know, kind of slow them down a little bit. And Aaron Rodgers was just so hot, and Matt Ryan really hadn't shown that he could stay hot in the playoffs yet. And so I don't put any money on it, but I mean, my verbal commitment was that the Green Bay Packers are going to win.
Yeah, I liked them too. I was surprised by that one. So
yeah, but you guys didn't get to see their corners firsthand like I did the week before against the Cowboys. As soon as I saw that secondary, I'm like, there's no way they're going to be able to stop Atlanta. No way.
As hot as Atlanta's
not even close.
Julio,
but you know what? It's championship weekend, and by halftime, you're like,
I know.
What am I going to do now?
Well, trust me, I was on the sideline saying that. Now what am I going to do?
Hopefully it makes for a great Super Bowl. JP, what's coming up tonight, man?
Oh, we'll talk a little Senior Bowl. John Osier's on Interstate 10 coming back with the boys. We'll hear from Johnny O about how the week went. We'll talk Mark Collins, the new linebackers coach announced today. And we might open the phone lines, too. And we'll go ahead and pick Super Bowl 51.
I think it's over, though. I don't think anyone's catching me.
If we go 10 times, it's going to be 10 – it's worth 10 points tonight, not one tonight, the winner of the Super Bowl.
And I still don't think you can catch me.
I might be able to. We'll see.
It is Jaguars Thursday, and it starts now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman. Plenty to get to tonight. Senior Bowl week. We'll hear from John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, driving back from Mobile.
Is this fake enthusiasm you're having for the Senior Bowl? I mean, you're really pumped up. Well,
JP was disappointed he didn't get to go.
I mean,
JP
a kid born in Mobile.
Man. JP eats it up.
Yeah, but it's not the Senior Bowl he loves, Jeff.
It's the food and the bar across the street.
Yeah, he doesn't even go to practice. He's in the bar
practice.
Drinking.
They practice? I've been there for 4 years.
Who's covering it now? One of the networks has been
NFL Network. Yeah, they have the practices every day, and they have the game on Saturday as well. So we'll hear from Johnny O about how the week went. We'll discuss the newest hire for the Jaguars coaching staff, Mark Collins. And we might open the phone lines a little later tonight as well. We'll pick Super Bowl 51 tonight, too. I know people will wait and tune in, waiting to see how I'm going to rally with the funny math to beat Baselli this year.
You got
to
have some funny math.
A real funny math. Yeah. So all that coming up. Let's start off with Mark Collins, named linebackers coach. In the last 2 years, he was the New York Jets outside linebackers coach, was with the Falcons for 5 years before that. Four of those years as a defensive assistant, 1 year as the outside linebackers coach, 11 seasons in the collegiate ranks. So that's the latest addition today. Honestly, don't know much about Mark Collins except that.
You know what I thought when I heard?
I have no idea. Okay.
When I've heard the name Mark Collins, you know what I thought, Tony?
No.
The defensive back to play for the New York
Giants.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
That was my first thought. I said, oh, Mark Collins. Yeah, I didn't know he went into coaching. And then I found out that he doesn't have an NFL playing career. I'm like, well, that's not Mark Collins that I know. But I don't know much about him. He's got great experience, college and pro. And if I'm him, I am thrilled to take this job.
Kidding me? Are you with the group he has to work with? Come on.
Coming in with Paul Posluszny, Miles Jack, and Telvin Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean,
it's pretty good.
You always talk about how coaches have to be smart, you know, and make the right decisions for their career. Mark Collins made a smart decision here. Very smart decision.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I don't know him. I have no idea if he's a good coach, bad coach, indifferent coach. I mean, I assume he's good. He wouldn't, you know, I'm sure that
they named
there was a number of guys they interviewed for that position. But happy to have. Well, he's welcome here. It's great. Go coach him up. Let's go. Here we go. I mean, it's not like we follow the linebacker coaches around.
I thought you were locked in. Totally.
No, I'm
Come
sorry.
You're on the wall. I mean, you should know all this.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I don't have to say anything bad. Like we don't care, but he's the linebacker coach.
That's great. We'll meet him soon.
He'll be a good coach because he's got good players.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. The better players.
Jimmy's and Joe's, right?
Yeah, the better players you have, the better coach you are.
He's got, from what I understand, too, it's not official yet, but they saw – somewhere that there was possibility of an assistant defensive backs coach that was going to be named.
Who? I haven't seen that.
I don't remember. I saw it somewhere. Yeah. Nothing has been officially announced yet, but if that's the case, then is the staff now. That's pretty much it.
Pretty close, right?
On the defensive side of the ball. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, the question is, are you going to have a quarterback's coach?
I would say yes.
You know, because, I mean, some offenses don't. You know,
yeah, sometimes it's the coordinator.
Right. And with Nathaniel Hackett having worked with Blake Bortles for the last 2 years, you know, are they expecting him to assume both responsibilities? I think that's an interesting it'll be interesting to see what they do in that department.
Yeah, how many voices do you want in the quarterback's head? That's another question. Right?
Well, I mean, look.
Because he's got his own coaches, right, off
yeah,
the
side. Yeah, but sometimes
he's got Doug.
No, but the quarterback coach is there because so you can he can get with the quarterback's one-on-one watching film and everything else like that so that the coordinator can be out preparing and game planning and not sitting in the meeting all day with the quarterback. So he takes some of the pressure off the coordinator from a game plan standpoint and everything else.
And, well, and also that a position coach, you know, if you've got a good quarterback's coach, somebody who has developed young quarterbacks, you know, the offensive coordinator is the one who's talking to him during practice in some of the meetings, but then a quarterback's coach will work on mechanics, the fundamentals, you know, so, you know, it can be good, but, you know, I mean, how many quarterback gurus are there that's worth hiring to get those, you know, those added qualities? I mean, I don't know how many of them are out there, you know, and it's kind of crazy in that, you know, you see what's happened in the league with all the openings that we've seen, and even the openings that are currently out there, there's some staffs that are, you know, they're leaving one staff and going to another, and so that creates an opening on that staff. And you're seeing coaches that are currently at teams right now, they'll take a wide receivers coach and move over to quarterback's coach. And I'm going, how can that happen? I mean, if you're a wide receivers coach or a running backs coach, how does that make you qualified to coach quarterbacks?
Well, I'll say this. It worked for the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris was the DB coach last year.
Yeah.
He is now the wide receiver coach this year.
Well, that goes back to the Mark Collins thing. When you got Julio Jones,
it helps, right?
You can coach Julio Jones.
He's pretty decent, too.
I'm just telling you. They're in the Super Bowl because of it, maybe.
But when
I don't
you
know.
Got Jimmy and Joe, you know, that aren't Julio Jones, I mean, you got to coach him up.
You're saying you and I could coach Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu?
Yes. Well, I don't know about Mohamed Sanu, but
he's pretty good too.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but we can coach Julio.
Run, go that way.
Yeah,
do whatever you want to do, Julio.
I mean, I'll tell you, it's that play that he had in the championship game,
Jeff,
unbelievable.
Have you ever been on field level with Julio?
From the booth,
yeah, just from the booth, yeah. So.
I saw him on the sideline in college once. Yes.
Okay, being down there with him, and I interviewed him after the game, post-game as well. That's a big dude.
Yes.
That is a big
man.
What is
he, 225?
Yes, he's thick. And he can,
he's tall.
And he's 6'3 at least. Hmm. And he runs and moves like a little guy.
That long touchdown was awesome.
He got an injured foot.
Yeah, he's a sprained toe. They could not cover him if their lives depended on it. There was no chance.
No wonder that poor guy had to hold him all game.
Oh,
because he had to.
He should have said, "Listen, please."
He had 300 yards.
Help! I can't do it. He's better than me.
Yeah, the hold on the one play actually helped him.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually kind of it was almost like a kind of a boomerang effect, and it kind of propelled him to be open.
It was
wasn't
good, unreal. But so I guess sometimes coaches change position groups. Is all I'm saying.
I think the one thing though that impressed the heck out of me because, you know, me and Tony, we've had this debate going on about Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not been a Matt Ryan fan.
I have.
And, yeah, you have. And, man, watching him in the last couple games, I mean, he is lights out.
He is the first quarterback in NFL history over a six-game stretch to have a 120 quarterback passer rating or greater. Over that six-game period, his passer rating was 133.3.
But the thing that impresses me with him is that when he drops back, he's starting to show those Tom Brady
quick
moments.
Decisions.
I mean, the decision-making, and that's what has made Tom Brady so successful for so long, is that when he drops back, first of all, he's already eliminated two out of his four wide receivers that aren't even a possibility, and they might have been a primary and a secondary. He's on a 3 and 4 sometimes when the ball snapped. Well, with Matt Ryan, I mean, he's dropping back now, and all of a sudden, bam, the ball is out. You know, whereas Aaron Rodgers, he sits back, he extends the play, he makes things happen, he does crazy things with the ball on the run, whereas Matt Ryan's in the pocket, surveys the field, boom, the ball's out, and it's accurate, and it's right on the money.
There was a couple plays in that game where Matt Ryan was under – there was a free blitzer or a guy got beat early. And I'm sitting – oh, my God, it's a sack. And the ball comes out as he's getting hit, and it's to the right guy on target, and it's just like, wow, this guy's playing at a different level right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got the two best quarterbacks in the league as far as from a statistical standpoint in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady and – I mean, Matt Ryan's one, Tom Brady's two. I mean, back and forth in the different categories. I mean, those are the two best guys right now.
But that's funny how that works.
With that said, though, Aaron Rodgers, he does some things in the football field, boys, that I just didn't think you could possibly do. He makes throws that you're never – like rolling to your right – and I'm going to throw it back left into the
things that are all quarterbacks are taught not to do.
Into the middle of the field, through three defenders, 40 yards down the field on a frozen rope. And I'm like, how do you do that?
Well, it's Mike McCarthy. He's a great coach.
I guess.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. I need to
ask him.
I'm going to call plays. I got to call plays.
Well, something against the Packers here?
No.
He's mad because he picked them and they lost.
No, I am disappointed. I'm just disappointed we didn't get a better game out of it.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
Let's come back. John Osier on the line when we come back to discuss the Senior Bowl. We also got to talk about Keenan McCardell, wide receivers coach.
Exciting.
He's got a group to work with, too. We'll come back in a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I also evaluate the other 31 quarterbacks in the league and quarterbacks league-wide. And I see, you know, where the deficiencies are with a lot of quarterbacks and where Blake's deficiencies lie. He's still young. He's still growing. I think the future is bright for him. I have a lot of confidence in him. I know he has the makeup in terms of intelligence, competitiveness, his hard work, his effort. So those things, you know, if he has those things, I think the rest of it will come. Well, I saw it in the last two games of the season. Here's a guy that, from a national standpoint, got beat up for most of the year. Some of it accurate, some of it not very accurate. And I think for the most part, you know, he just rebounded. And some of the throws that he made in his last couple of games, it's not a guy that lacks confidence, I can tell you that much. I've said this time and again. I think we can win a lot of games with Blake. I think we can win a Super Bowl with Blake. And I think he needs to improve, and I think we need to improve around him, too, in order for that to happen.
There's Dave Caldwell, general manager for the Jaguars, exclusively on Jaguars.com. Brian Sexton sat down with him at the Senior Bowl earlier this week.
What do you think about those comments?
Well, I mean, it's the GM that picked Blake Bortles.
Well, I didn't ask you. I know that. I asked you, what do you think about his comments? I mean, do we think that Blake Bortles can take this team to a Super Bowl, lead this team to a Super Bowl?
The way he played last year, no.
But if you have parts around him and he plays better, then sure, right? If he plays better and you have parts around him that play better, then that's the idea, right?
Okay.
Well, apparently you don't think that.
No, I'm not. All you can do is make judgments based on what we've seen.
Right.
That's all you can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about a guy out of the college draft that we're projecting and hoping. I mean, yes, I agree with Dave. There's a lot of great things that Blake Bortles has, and we've talked about that. But the inconsistency with the mechanics and the accuracy and some of the decision-making has to improve. You could say that about a lot of quarterbacks. Well, if they improve and we get better around them, we can go to a Super Bowl.
If and buts were candy and nuts.
And so that's great, but the question is, how much and what does Blake need to improve? And to become the quarterback that – see, right now I think it's unrealistic and unfair to Blake say, well, he needs to – the expectations can't be that he's going to be a franchise quarterback right now. That's what he needs to become is a consistent quarterback. And then once you're consistent, then we can talk about becoming a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. But right now it's – you got to take that first step because, I mean, I think you have to be honest that last year was not very good I think the criticism,
Tony, there were moments last year. There was that 4 or 5 game stretch to where, you know, I said it. You got to look at sitting them down, you know, let them take a back seat and kind of get a view from a different perspective. Because at that point, when he was in that stretch, he was not giving them the best chance to win, in my opinion.
I'd agree.
And at the end of the year, as Dave Caldwell alluded to, that the last two games were very good. They were good. But there were some moments and some balls that he threw during the course of the season where you went, did I just see that? I mean, I'm talking about throws now that you just don't see NFL quarterbacks make. And so,
especially third-year NFL quarterbacks.
Well, and I would, so I'd say it this way, a little bit different. I hope Blake Bortles can be a quarterback that takes us to the Super Bowl. I hope Blake Bortles is the quarterback of this franchise for a long time. I hope he becomes a consistent player that can lead this team to wins on a weekly basis on Sundays. I don't know, though.
Nobody knows.
And I think if you
the car, I mean, Dave is.
They think
if you think and you expect him to be able to do that, to take that next step, to be able to take a team to the Super Bowl, win a lot of games. I think if you're the general manager, I think you're making a huge mistake if you're counting on that. If you're putting all your eggs into that basket,
that's right.
And that's what I heard a little bit in that comment.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's necessarily, you know, because a lot of times a general manager, coach, you know, vice president of football operations, look, I mean, he's their guy right now. I mean, there's nobody
else.
Yeah,
so it's coach speak or GM speak. You just say, yeah. I agree.
You know, so, I mean, what else are they going to say?
No, that's what
but,
I mean.
But you
right
just
thing.
Hope, you hope that, look, that things do happen for him to where he gets better, and you also hope that the general manager, the coach, and the vice president of football operations are saying that as coach speak or VP speak or GM speak or whatever, but in the back of their minds they're going, we can't count on the fact that he is going to be the guy for sure. And then in turn, they get other options that if it doesn't work out, maybe somewhere else it does.
Because I think we all hope he does.
Sure, yeah.
I like Blake, and I like a lot of his makeup and a lot of things that Dave talked about, but there's a lot. Hope is a long way from knowing.
Without hope, you don't have anything, though.
That's right.
That's
right.
Shawshank Redemption.
Well, you got to have
a good thing.
Well, here's the thing,
right,
well,
Tony.
You got an O in the word hope, right? You got an O in the word hope. And do we got O?
Yeah, we got O. Let's go.
Speaking of O, John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, is on the line somewhere on Interstate 10, I suppose. Johnny O, right?
It sounds like the future and campaigning Hall of Famer has given up on the quarterback, JP.
It does, right?
I think what Jeff said there is pretty dead on. The quarterback's your quarterback until he's not your quarterback. So you've got to support him. You have to say you believe in him. And I think Dave Caldwell does believe in him. I think what we really don't know is Tom Coughlin, who just got here, probably a few days into really diving into the film on Blake and the real decision-making, I don't think we know yet exactly what the true belief is. And as Jeff said, I think there's going to be a belief of, yeah, he's our guy, and let's see if there's any route out there that we can really challenge this guy.
Ozone, do you believe differently than me? I haven't given up on him. I just think it's hard to say, like Jeff said, that you can count on him being the guy that can take you to where you want to go. I hope he is, but based on what we saw last year, how much confidence can you have in that hope? Hello?
John doesn't want to talk with us.
I think John's done.
That question scared him.
He's somewhere on Interstate 10.
But, you know, you go all the way back to 1995. Okay, we had Steve Beuerlein.
That's right.
Who was viewed as the best veteran option on the market, and the Jaguars were able to get him. Traded for Mark Brunell, and Mark eventually took over. But what did they do soon after that? Drafted Rob Johnson. You know, so, I mean, there's three guys, you know, that look if – Steve Beuerlein's not the guy. Well, we've got another guy we can try.
That's
well,
a production business.
If the other guy doesn't work out, well, we got another draft pick here we can try.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the approach that you got to have. You know, and, you know, people kind of laughed at me, and I think you were even one of them, Tony, that said draft a quarterback every year.
No. I mean, it depends where. I don't know if I do it every year. I draft one this year for sure.
But you have to consider drafting one every year, because unless you're the Patriots, the Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, and even those teams got to start looking at it to some extent because of the age of their quarterback. But unless you have a franchise guy You got to look at drafting one at every year.
John Osier's back with us now. John apparently was scared off by Bo's question there earlier, Tony.
I-10 has some tough patches. You know that guy.
Or can you answer my question, please?
Well, you want them to be, but the reality is, even for the first 3 years, even in year two, which was 2015, you know, he was not and has not shown that ability to make the consistent decisions, the consistent right throws. So there have been, I think it was Jeff who alluded to it, too many times where he makes the throws that you go, boy, that looked like a rookie's throw, and now he's in his second or third year. And that's what concerns you, because in this league, those throws cost you. And, you know, beyond the mechanics and beyond all that stuff that we all talk about, it's still sort of the decision-making and that ability to really come through at those clutch moments when the game is on the line and not when the game's over with, that he just hasn't shown yet. You know, I think it can be there, but I think this is a make-or-break year. I think it has to happen now.
John, I remember because you and I were seatmates on the plane. And
that was awesome for me,
yeah,
Tony.
It was one of my highlights of my year as well. And we were talking at the end of the year about the number of opportunities this team had in the fourth quarter with the ball and the ability to either take the lead or extend the lead. And I think it was all but one time didn't come through.
Yeah, out of like 25 or 26 over a – it was like a 4 or 5 game stretch. I forget the exact stat now. But it was during that stretch where, you know, the season sort of slid away. And they had many chances in the fourth quarter. The offense got the ball, chance to tie, take the lead, or ice the game, and it just never could. And there's obviously a ton of factors that go into that. But in this league, the factor that really factors in there is the quarterback. And he gets blamed rightly or wrongly. But that's the time that the quarterback has to go in the game. And that just, it hasn't happened yet. And I think the makeup is there. We all know what Blake's about. You know, he's a gutsy, confident guy. I don't think he's lost confidence. You know, I think he believes he can do it. I think he'll work to do it. The question becomes after a while is how long does he get to do it? And again, I think, I think he'll get the chance. I don't think they'll find competition enough to not have him starting the season next year. But it's got to be a major spike up fast.
John Osier with us, Jaguars.com senior writer. Coming back from Mobile on Interstate 10 from the Senior Bowl. Now, each year we send a crew to Mobile, and part of that week over there is the national perspective on the Jags. Our first real look after the season, John, of what people are thinking about the Jaguars. Obviously, Tom Coughlin is the biggest storyline this offseason. What was the consensus on all the moves in the front office?
Well, generally speaking, when you talk to people, it's a let's see how this works, because it's an intriguing approach of you've got a guy who is probably a Hall of Fame head coach. You guys both know him as a head coach and was also heavily involved in personnel in Jacksonville for 5 to 7 years. But hasn't done that in a long time, and this is a different role. So the clear question are the ones that we all have. You know, can this formula with Dave Caldwell work? Can Tom make that transition from a fantastic head coach to a role he really hasn't played? And you think he can, and the belief within the league is that he can, because this is a smart football guy who knows the league, and there's no reason that he can't. But it still has to be proven.
And I think the one thing that gives him a chance is that he's got a tireless work ethic and the ability to focus. And I think the one thing that's always impressed me, you know, when you're a head coach of a football team, you're also somewhat of a CEO of a corporation or a vice president of football operations in some extent. You know, so, I mean, he has some of that experience, you know, from the early years here with the Jaguars, and I think that he's going to lean on those years and lean on the experiences that he's had since then. And so I think, John, you're dead on the money when you say you think it might work, but you just don't know, because it's a new role.
Yeah, and again, the people I talk to, it's an intriguing thing, because a lot of head coaches who have gone and done this, it hasn't worked. But by the same token, a lot of these coaches aren't Tom Coughlin with his approach, with his work ethic. with his attention to detail, all these things that you know are his strengths are the things that can help him succeed. And
I guarantee
you don't know until you know.
I guarantee you, John, that there are coaches around the league that are rooting for him to succeed.
Oh, no question.
And the reason I say that is because if it works,
it lengthens their careers.
Then all of a sudden, you know, the Mike Holmgrens who failed, you know, or people will forget about them, and then all of a sudden, these coaches that may retire here in the near future, all of a sudden, there's another opportunity that may open up for them.
Well, I think the reason it hasn't worked, and you hear things, you don't know if they're rumors or if they're true, but I think often the viewpoint is, at least from people around those situations, and sometimes from the outside, is that when a former head coach gets that role, they treat it almost like as a placeholder, and maybe the work ethic and the time that it needs to be put in isn't put in. Well, that's the one thing I can guarantee you about this situation that won't happen. I mean,
yeah, don't lose sleep over that.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin. Now, I think he'll be a good executive, and I think he'll do a good job. But if he's not, it won't be because he didn't take it serious, and it won't be because he didn't work his you-know-what off, and it won't be because of the attention to detail, and it won't be because of lacking any effort. I mean, those are the one things that anyone who knows Tom or has been around Tom, that's like putting money in the bank. That is going to happen. He will grind this thing out, and which, to me, that's always half the battle in anything you do is work ethic and hard work. If you're willing to work hard and put that in, you're gonna be successful more times than not. And I think that's the one thing Tom has on his side.
Yeah, I wasn't there all week, but I'm guessing he was rolling in before noon.
Yes, fair to say. Yeah.
JP wouldn't know because he got in at 12:30.
No, JP got he beat the buzzer.
Yeah, I got
JP got in about 11:45 today.
Yeah. Whatever.
The work ethic isn't here in the broadcast department. Right,
so you know, that's real nice.
So
real
question
nice,
for you, John, being at the Senior Bowl, who are the top three most impressive prospects that were at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I always couch this by saying my eyes aren't on the field as much as a lot of these draftings, but some guys that people were talking about, Dan Feeney, the kid from Indiana, the guard, was really sort of said to be the standout lineman of the bunch, probably a first-round guy. Nathan Peterman, the kid from Bartram Trail, quarterback from Pitt. The quarterbacks in this game this year are not the Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz level. But if any of them stood out, it was probably Nathan Peterman.
Wait a second, John. Stop. No one thought Dak Prescott was Dak Prescott's level this time last year. No one had Dak Prescott.
Oh, Johnny did.
He was at the Senior Bowl, though.
Johnny I understand did. That, but he just said they're not at the Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz level. Well, Dak Prescott was viewed as a middle-round draft pick, which he was.
It wouldn't be surprising if no quarterback in this game goes before the fourth at the point.
I know, but don't put Dak Prescott like you knew or any of us knew that he was going to do what he did this year.
Oh, you will never hear me beating my chest that I know how a college player is going to play in the pros.
How about the kid from Kansas State, the defensive end? I don't even know his name, but I saw some noise about him.
If you heard noise, he was probably pretty good.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, John, for that insight.
I mean,
great insight.
I'm just not going to pretend to really have watched all the practices from full on because we're really trying to figure out Jaguar stuff. But from what you see and what you hear, some of the guys I mentioned, Antonio Pipkin, he's a Division II quarterback from Tiffin. So they look really good. Montrevious Adams, defensive tackle from Auburn. Some of those guys are the guys he are hearing have stood out.
Well, here's a question.
I don't know about your Kansas State guy.
Well, a question away from the prospect. The Jaguars contingent was there. They've had a couple weeks under their belt and seeing Tom Coughlin in the building. I don't know how much interaction they've had with him, but have you gotten any kind of impression of what their thoughts are of Tom Coughlin in the first couple
of weeks?
Most
of the guys here have been out, you know, at the Senior Bowl this week, Blue Gray, you know, the All-Star game. So they don't have much of an impression yet. But they know Tom is Tom, and it's going to be a change. And you get the idea that they're ready for that or are getting ready for that. but they haven't done a whole lot of there hasn't been a whole lot of in-office interaction yet.
And by the way, we'll never actually know because they'll never be allowed to talk to us again. So we'll have no idea really what they think.
That's probably the biggest truth of the show so far.
Thank you very
much. That's right. The other truth of the show is I'm sure you guys went to Veet's a few times. You say hi to Gina Joe for me?
Oh, we were at Veet's, and you were missed, JP, because I'm telling you, out of all the years we've gone, JP, might have been the best run at Veet's you've had yet.
Wow. Wow. That's hard to beat, my friend.
Or so they say.
Wow, that's high praise.
You don't remember, do you?
Ooh.
No, I didn't go to Veet's very much, but I've heard it was good.
Well, Johnny, have a safe drive back on Interstate 10. Whoever's driving the car, I'm sure.
Yeah, who's driving, by
Dave,
the way?
Dave, probably.
PCAP's driving, and Dave's in the driver's seat, and they put me in the trunk.
Wait a minute. PCAP's driving, and Dave's in the driver's seat. How does that work?
No, Dave's in he's in his lap.
Oh, well.
Okay, with that, we'll go.
It's quite a scene here on I-10.
It's time to go. John Osier, Jaguars.com.
Quite the picture being painted there. Let's see, PCAP's driving, and Dave's in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Dave's in the passenger seat, and it was a good week.
Apparently so. Be safe, guys. We'll see you later.
See you, Johnny
right,
O.
Guys.
Johnny O. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Check out all the coverage from Mobile this week on Jaguars.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We continue. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, the waiter, Tony Baselli. Can we get some bread, Tony?
Oh, man.
Great. They're good.
You're great.
I'm a servant, J.P. I'm a servant.
Servant leader. Yes, you are.
Jaguars. I'm serving people.
It's real nice of you.
He even brought me a little cream and sugar now.
Yeah.
Where's mine, man?
You didn't ask for it, did you?
No, I didn't.
I didn't ask for it either.
I know you.
I didn't ask for anything. What did I get?
You didn't ask for coffee.
That's my point. He didn't ask for cream and sugar.
I'll let you smell my coffee.
But I've known Jeff since 1995, so I knew he liked cream and sugar.
I won't tell you what grade I was in 1995.
Yeah, what grade were you
did
in?
Did you have hair?
Were you 95? Born yet?
I had a lot of hair, yeah.
Really?
Let's see. 95. I would have been in.
Joe was here with
what
us.
What year were you
I was
born?
A 2000 high school graduate.
2000?
So do the math on that.
Oh, okay.
So probably
7th
or 8th grade, yeah.
8th grade, maybe.
You graduated?
I did.
Did you?
I did. On time and everything.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you go bald?
I was probably started mid-20s.
That's
to late 20s.
Yeah. Kind of sad.
Yeah, I know. I see it every day, Tony. Thanks
a
lot for the reminder.
Nobody cares about JP's hairline.
Thank you. You know what?
He doesn't have one.
That's real nice.
He's got a great voice and got a great look.
Whoa.
We're on the radio.
It's radio. For
radio.
It's a great look.
For radio.
The voice is good.
For radio. The voice is great.
The look, though. Oof.
For radio.
You got a great look for radio.
That's real nice.
JP, he does. He's got a great voice. Kind of like Barry White.
Ooh, baby.
Got a great face.
I'm going to throw up.
For radio.
How's your coffee?
Highly intelligent.
Yes, keep
That's
talking.
That's not true either.
Marginal character.
Tall, handsome.
That is true. There's a question about the character.
That's not true. Let's go to the phone line, shall we? Let's see what they have to say tonight. Let's go to Gilbert, Arizona, wherever the heck that is, and say good evening to Scott. You're on the line. Scott, what's up? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, man. What's up?
Oh, I'm holding the fellas a question.
Why don't you? Yeah, you're on with the fellas. Yeah. Turn down your radio, though. It'll help you out a little bit.
I'm so sorry, Tony.
That's
right. Thank you for taking my call. I know you're going to get the knock on the door next week, and Jack Nation representing in Canton will be a very cool thing for all of us.
That would be. Thank you. I hope it happens, and I hope I do get a knock and not a phone call.
Right. Hey, I have a question surrounding the demeanor of our new VP of football operations and in his new role. I mean, on the Coughlin scale, would you view him today as being closer to like the unrelenting Stevens Point Tom kind of guy that would, you know, fine Taylor and Banks for being late to a meeting because they rolled a beamer four times on Main Street Bridge, or more like the, you know, Justin Tuck nicknamed him Cheese in New York, partly because he said he was smiling all the time and, you know, the person that also showed incredible empathy toward JPP after the fireworks incident. I mean, in this position, do you even think there will be enough personal interaction between him and players? The past relationships, would he figure into the equation if those players were considering possibly signing here in free agency? I mentioned JPP, so using him as an example, because we know we need veteran edge help, and hard to fathom the Giants writing the kind of check that Pierre-Paul will command to play the same position they, gave Olivier $52.5 million guaranteed for. So, although initial media reports were Tom immediately sending JPP a text saying, what can I do to help, after JPP refused any form of contact with Giants personnel, the whole thing seemed to rattle a little contentiously. So wondering if, you have any idea as to whether that particular relationship would have deteriorated to a point where Pierre-Paul would maybe not even consider a Jags offer, or if you think maybe coming back home to Florida to play for a Tom-led organization, if the money was right, might be something he would consider because of his relationship with Coughlin.
Scott, you have won a prize. Officially the longest question in the history longer of than, Jaguars Thursday.
Longer than Papa Louie?
That's the best.
I appreciated it since I got
coffee. How about this? The longest good question. The longest good question in the history of this show. It's a very good question. A lot of words. And let's see if we can address it. His demeanor and how much he'll interact with the players. He's not Tom Coughlin. There's still bits and pieces of him. But 1995 was a whole different animal. And, it's 21, 22 years ago. Things have changed. And we all change. But his demeanor in the overall sense is going to be similar from – he is a grinder. He is a no-nonsense, straight-to-the-point, tell-you-how-he-feels type of individual. And I don't think that's going to change whether he's the coach or the EVP. Now, how much he actually interacts with the players, I don't think that's going to be his role, really. I mean, that's the head coach's job, first and foremost, and then the GM after that.
Yeah, but
as free agency, I could see him helping there's opportunities to help.
I don't agree with the free agency part, because I think, look,
the money helps the most.
Money talks. Now, if it's a special relationship, where a JPP, that's different, But, I mean, how many players in free agency are going to have any kind of relationship or have had a relationship with Tom Coughlin? Very few of them.
Well, JPP is, I think he'd look good in a Jaguar uniform.
I think he'd look great in a Jaguars uniform.
So, Tom, use your relationship and whatever powers you have.
Yeah, in that instance, it may help, because, Scott was right in that Tom Coughlin, I think, handled the JPP thing extremely well, considering the circumstances. But will he help in free agency? Look, as long as he's got a pocket full of money, to be able to pay free agents, that's the most important thing. Now, the interaction with the players. I have a hard time believing that Tom Coughlin won't have interaction with the players.
I'm not saying he won't have any. I just don't think it's going to be
as much as he wants to.
But I think he'll sit back and let the head coach be the head coach. Now, he might be making comments and telling the head coach what he feels about certain guys, and this is not, I don't like this or I don't like that. But I just don't see him overstepping too far. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Tom Coughlin's never overstepped too far when in relationships with the players anyway. The whole thing, and I remember going back to the kinder, gentler Tom Coughlin, because he sat down and had a donut with somebody, was so overblown, it was unbelievable.
Here's the reality. The only person who stayed there to eat the donut with him was me. The rest of you suckers ran out of the locker room and went somewhere else.
I didn't run. I had a donut with him.
You sauntered.
Just one.
Just one. You sauntered out of the locker room.
Krispy Kreme with him, and that was it.
Tom would come in. Sit down. I'd be sitting down already, and Yurko would be there. Everybody else would leave the locker room.
It was funny. That's true.
Let's get one
Me
more
and
call.
And
Yurko would
hang out with Tom
before the
it
break.
It was like throwing some bug spray in the middle of a room full of roaches.
Turn the lights on. They scatter. Right. Let's go to Jack's Beach and say good evening to Renee. What's up?
Hi. Longtime fan. Never missed a home game. I had the opportunity a couple years ago that I talked to Mr. Loggeman and told him my favorite place he ever had was when he stood up Eddie George, I think twice, in Whitecheck, and when they were playing the Houston Oilers in Memphis, it was some of the that was just wonderful. My favorite play I just want to make sure that the Sally knows this. My favorite play is not when he played defensive end against McCray or against Jason Taylor or even Reggie White. That's not my favorite. Was him that when. Unfortunately, Mark threw an interception, and I can't remember exactly, But the interception was, again, the Kansas City Chiefs, actually. It was a home game, and the guy, the DB, was going down the right sideline, was about to go in. He took the angle and took him out, and the guy got up and couldn't figure out how.
It was actually the Cincinnati Bengals, Renee.
Was it?
He ran him down.
You walked somebody down?
Yeah, I did. Now, listen. The story gets better all the time. But he did. Renee's right. He was running down the right sideline, and he was going to score. And so I take off. I'm running. And he's pointing at me, taunting me.
Oh, yeah.
And I
remember.
It was like something happened. I don't know how. I started running faster, and I dove and tackled him on about the 4 or 5 yard line. And the best part was the next play. They fumbled, and Aaron Beasley took it to the house the other way for a touchdown.
That's why you should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, maybe
that'll
make
man.
I'll make my play that play.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, thanks for the call. What a memory there, Renee.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye.
Renee brings up Eddie George. You know, one of the memories that I have of Eddie George coming in backside of him here at Alltel Stadium then, and had a free hit on him. And I closed my eyes and whipped him completely, and he runs for like 70 yards.
I do remember, though, the goal line stand in Memphis, because there was a back and forth play, and they were going to go score with very little time left, and we were going to have to a 2-minute drive or hurry up offense. And I remember sitting on we're standing on the sidelines, like,
I had three good plays there.
And Jeff, I'm sure other guys did their job, but all I remember is three straight plays, Loggeman's making a tackle either at the line of scrimmage or in the backfield. And I was like, he's having a pretty good day. We got the ball back, ran out the clock, and that was it.
Game
over.
Game, boys.
Ball game.
That was a good one.
Let's come back and talk Super Bowl. We'll look at the standings of picks as well.
That's not good for you guys.
You are taunting us on the way to the end zone is what's going on.
I'm pointing at you right now, JP.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli. Let's look at the results of championship weekend picks. If you're watching on Jaguars.com, we'll have the full screen results of last week in the season.
Let's go, Hollywood. Put it up there. Here we go.
Each selection was worth quadruple the points, so Shadrick and Loggeman both 1-1. That equals 4-4.
Wait a second. Okay.
Vaselli's 2-0.
Can we take away the...
So that's 8-0.
Picking in week 4, because right now it looks embarrassing because I have the same amount of points as you do, JP, and you've been picking all year.
For the season, you're at 668 winning percentage, 121 wins. Logs at 587, 124, and I'm bringing up the rear, 573 with 121 wins. So
587 and 573 will get you fired.
Yeah,
668,
right.
You're going to keep your
job. You're doing okay.
I'm
in it.
Well, it's the funny math the last 3 weeks have helped you pull away.
If we just did playoffs by themselves.
Oh, you only lost like one playoff
game. Yeah, I'd still be ahead
with you. But not by this much. I mean, it's the funny math has helped you some.
I was doing the funny math to help you guys get back in.
It hasn't helped.
No.
At all.
So how many points is the...
27.
27. Is that how many
51
points?
51 points.
You need 51 points to get back in?
I don't know. But let's do the 51 Super Bowl 51, so that's worth 51 points.
I don't care. Whatever.
Whatever. It doesn't matter at this point.
All right. Do you want to pick first, JP?
I'm going with the New England Patriots. They have all the motivation in the world. They're hot. They got a quarterback who's angry.
Stop. Just stop. Stop.
What?
All the motivation in the world. A quarterback who's angry. I said this on an interview earlier. Can we stop? It's the Super Bowl. You don't need extra motivation to play. I mean, Jeff, if you were in the Super Bowl, neither you and I ever got to play in one. We got close.
Mm-hmm.
Would you need – I'll just go back to the AFC Championship game. Did you need any bulletin board material or any extra motivation to play in that game?
No.
Tom Brady is not thinking about Deflategate or Roger Goodell. That team doesn't need it to play. It's the Super Bowl. So stop saying dumb things.
All right, fine. They're playing well on offense.
They are.
Their defense is playing very well.
Number one scoring defense.
They've got it all. Coaching, they got everything.
Only one time in the history of the NFL has the number one scoring, when it hasn't happened a lot, but number one scoring offense against the number one scoring defense. Only one time did the number one scoring offense win. And it was the Broncos versus the Redskins.
And you know that they're not going to miss anything. They're very thorough in their preparation, and they always have been on this stage. They've been at this stage
before.
They
experience
know is big. Experience is big, and that's why I'm taking the Patriots with you, JP.
Absolutely. What do you think, Mr. Buscelli?
We're going Falcons.
The Falcons.
And really more than anything, just to make this interesting, because if we all pick the Patriots, well, how much fun is that? I think the Falcons are going to score points. Bill Belichick is known for trying to take away one aspect, and the Falcons have a bunch of aspects to them.
It's tough.
And you look at recent Super Bowls, they've given up a lot of yards and some points in the Super Bowls. And I think that Atlanta is going to go up, and I think they're going to score a lot. I think New England will score a lot, because the Falcons' defense is not great, but it's fast, and it's opportunistic, and I don't think the big stage will be too much for this group. I think they'll be fine.
I don't know about that.
I think the Atlanta Falcons win the ballgame.
Well, it's hard. It's hard. The moments are so big in the Super Bowl, and turnovers in a Super Bowl are worth like one turnover in a Super Bowl is probably worth like three in a regular season game. You know, I call it the magnification of turnovers in the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady has done a great job protecting the football for the most part throughout the year.
Here's an interesting statistic. There's only four teams in the history of the NFL that have less than 12 turnovers in a single regular season, an entire regular season. The Atlanta Falcons this year only had 11.
Wow.
Problem is, so did the New England Patriots. They only had 11 this year as well. So both teams are outstanding at protecting the football. I agree with Jeff. That's going to go a long way in determining this this game, because both of them don't turn it over.
It's what's going to be interesting to me is what book that Bill Belichick grabs off the shelf. I mean, he is known for being a coach that every week it's different, and he pulls a different playbook out.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question, JP.
Yes, sir.
Our show is on from 6 to 7,
yeah,
correct?
That's the rumor.
It's 7:01, and I'm pretty sure we just blew right through any break as Joe Fortunato is over there,
Joe,
surfing the web.
Yeah. Digging deep over there.
I would like a raise this week.
Yeah, we need to get a bonus, right, for going overtime?
No. Way to count us down, Joe.
Well done, guys. So you guys.
Apologies,
Joe,
to the next show.
Yeah, sorry.
Whatever's happening right now, forgive
us. It's all
us.
Joe's fault. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Max Hockman, and yes, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.